Saul rejected as king. Chapter 64, 1 Samuel 14. The Philistines were driven out of the land. Once again, the Israelites could do as they pleased. It was a pity that most of the Philistine soldiers had escaped, because the Israelites were too tired to pursue them further. After the war with the Philistines, Saul delivered his nation from the oppression of the surrounding heathen nations. He fought battle after battle and won conflict after conflict. He fought with the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and the Philistines. The Lord helped him in every battle. Is it surprising that the Israelites regarded their powerful king with thankfulness and respect? Saul was no coward, for the marginal reading of 1 Samuel 14, verse 48 says that he wrought mightily. Saul really did much good for his people during the first years of his reign. The children of Israel lived in prosperity. It also seems as though Saul destroyed many wrong things in his country. There were magicians, sorcerers, fortune tellers, and wizards among the heathen nations which surrounded the Israelites. You still remember that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, also had magicians and sorcerers, don't you? However, when the Israelites began to imitate the heathens by making lifeless idols and worshipping them, those with familiar spirits and wizards also came into Israel. Saul killed the magicians and all those with familiar spirits during the first years of his reign. When he heard that one of these persons were living somewhere, he would command this person, whether man or woman, to be imprisoned and killed. That was good. Those wicked people were not permitted to live in Israel. In an outward way, Saul walked in the ways of the Lord, and the Lord blessed him with temporal blessings because God gave him the victory over all his enemies. But earthly blessings are not sufficient for eternity. Saul had no desire for eternal blessings. Behold, an old man is entering the palace of Saul. He has a message for the king. It seems to be a pleasant message, for a happy expression covers Saul's face. He laughs and nods with assent while the gray-haired man talks. Listen to Saul's answer. Yes, that is good. I will be obedient. I will do it immediately. That will be put to rights. Then the old man leaves. Who is he? What message did he bring to Saul? This old man is Samuel. Upon the command of the Lord, Saul must punish the Amalekites. Do you still remember that the Israelites, when they had just departed from Egypt, were attacked from the rear by the Amalekites? At that time, Joshua defeated them, didn't he? That was the time when Moses had to keep his rod extended toward heaven. Moses had to write this event in a book so that it would never be forgotten by the children of Israel. The time has arrived for the Amalekites to be punished for that cowardly attack. Go and smite the Amalekites, Samuel had said to Saul, and kill every one of them. The men, women, the little children, yes, even the cows and sheep with the camels and asses must be slain to the very last one. Nothing and no one may remain alive. That cowardly nation must be completely wiped out. That nation must be annihilated. This is the message which Samuel has just brought to Saul. The king is well pleased with it, and he is willing to do as he is told. That is just what he likes to do. thereby achieving more fame and honor to himself, for Saul has become proud because of the many victories which he has obtained. As soon as Samuel has departed, Saul musters his army, which is enormous. He soon has more than 200,000 soldiers following him. When everything is ready, the command rings out, "Forward!" And they march onward, the many thousands of Israel. They are on their way to avenge the blood of their forefathers, who were slain in the wilderness by that base attack. They march toward the south, for the Amalekites still live in the wilderness. But another nation, the Kenites, live close to the Amalekites, probably right in their midst. These Kenites are descendants of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, who went with the Israelites to the land of Canaan. Saul says to them before the battle begins, "Depart, so that you will not be slain." The Kenites heed this warning and go as quickly as they can. The battle begins, and the Amalekites are completely defeated. Their soldiers, in agony of fear, flee in the greatest disorder, but to no avail, for they are overtaken and struck down. Agag, the king of the Amalekites, is captured and brought to Saul. The Lord commanded Saul to kill everything, so the king must be killed too. But Saul doesn't do that. He lets Agag live. Why? When Saul returns homeward in a little while, he will take with him the conquered king in chains. Every person will see it and will say, "Here comes Saul, the victor, and he has Agag, the defeated king, with him." That will be a great honor for him. The other kings do the same thing, and he wants to imitate those heathen kings. He doesn't care that he is transgressing the command of Israel's great king by doing that. He is not troubled about that. It isn't so bad if God does not receive any honor, just so long as he is honored. In the meantime, his soldiers travel the highways of the hostile country. They come to a pasture full of cows, which must be killed. "It is too bad," they say to each other, "that we must kill all those valuable cattle. Do you know what? We will not do it." They look for the best and fattest cows and separate them, letting them live. They also let the best sheep, camels, and asses live. They not only spare the very best, but also the next best. Only the weak, the thin, the crippled, and the sickly animals are killed. So they steal of the spoil and refuse to obey God. They are so concerned with the spoil that they forget the Amalekites who are fleeing, and many are able to escape. Saul sees this and permits it instead of forbidding it. Finally, they are finished stealing the spoil. Saul marches triumphantly at the head of his victorious army. Agag, the king, is taken with them as a prisoner. Saul glows with pride. The loot which they had taken walks behind them. It consists of many thousands of animals which low and bleat anxiously as they are driven forward. When Saul comes to the border of his own country, he builds a monument. He erected this pillar as a memorial of his victory. He then marches to Gilgal. There he will bring his offering and thank the Lord for the victory. Ah, yes, Saul is still devout in his own way. But there comes an old man toward the army of the Israelites. This old man looks dejected and sorrowful. He sighs deeply and shakes his head repeatedly. This old man is Samuel. What? Isn't Samuel happy with Saul's splendid victory? No, Samuel is grieved and angry. The Lord appeared to Samuel the day before and revealed to him that Saul had been disobedient. Now he is on his way to meet the disobedient king. It is made known to Saul that Samuel is coming to meet him. Immediately he hurries forward to meet the old prophet. I have performed the commandment of the Lord, Saul says proudly. In answer, Samuel lifts his head in a listening posture. I hear the bleating of many sheep and the lowing of cows. Then he asks, what does that mean? Oh, Saul answers, the people spared the best cows and sheep to sacrifice unto the Lord, but all the others we killed as the Lord commanded me. Samuel shakes his head angrily. Be quiet, rings his voice sternly. You have not done what God commanded. You have been disobedient. Yes, but I could not help it, could I? The people spared the best cattle to use for sacrificing. I could do nothing about it, Saul says defensively. That is cowardly of Saul. He quickly casts the blame upon the people in order to free himself. Is that what you do too sometimes? Saul, you stand there lying. Aren't you their king? You should have forbidden it, but you overlooked it and permitted it to be done. No, Saul, not the people, but you are the chief offender. Therefore, Samuel answers, the Lord does not desire stolen sacrifices. The Lord wants to be obeyed. The Lord has rejected you because you have done this. You will not remain king. The Lord will appoint another king in your stead. This message frightens Saul. There he stands, his cheeks turn pale. I have sinned, he cries out. I feared the people. But oh, pardon my sin. Go with me, and I will ask the Lord for forgiveness. Does Saul repent? Why, no. His repentance is not upright. He only has sorrow because of the punishment. No, is Samuel's short answer. I will not go with you. You are not obedient to the Lord. Therefore the Lord has rejected you. Samuel turns around to go, but Saul holds him by his mantle, trying to keep him from going. Samuel attempts to pull himself free. And then, suddenly, a piece of his mantle tears off. So also shall the Lord rend the kingdom from you, Samuel casts at him. Saul is extremely afraid. The people will notice what is taking place. No, no, the people may not know that he has been rejected as king. Oh, won't you go with me, he pleads. What will the people think? Honor me before the elders of Israel. Finally, Samuel consents. When they come to Gilgal, they sacrifice, and Saul worships. However, he doesn't do it in truth. He only does it in form. Samuel says sharply and commandingly, "Bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here." Agag is brought, and he walks proudly and bravely with uplifted head. He was terror-stricken when he was captured, expecting to lose his life. Now he doesn't fear. That danger is past. But he is sadly mistaken. Unafraid, Samuel looks at him. "You have been a brute," he says. "You have killed many innocent people. You never were concerned about the mothers who were sitting home weeping because of the loss of their children. It left you cold that children lost their fathers and women lost their husbands. but the hour of vengeance has come. Now your mother shall weep about you. Samuel quickly takes a sword and kills Agag with it. If Saul will not do it, Samuel will. After that, the aged Samuel returns to his home at Ramah. A sad expression covers his face. Samuel is sad because Saul does not give the honor to God, for which reason the Lord rejected Saul. Saul sends his soldiers to their homes, and he returns to his palace. A dissatisfied expression covers his face. Saul is dissatisfied because he could not have his way. That is the great difference between Samuel and Saul. Which one of these two do you resemble?